Hello, Saints. So today I'm just going to be sharing some of my favorite portions of Scripture. I hope you're edified by this. Some are a little bit longer, some are shorter, but I'll talk a little bit about them afterwards, something that I like about each one. So I'll start at Job 23, 8 to 12. Job is one of my favorite books. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. One of my favorite portions out of Job, because it talks about the Lord always working. Though we can't see him, his thoughts are far above our own. He's always working, he's always trying the righteous, purifying his people. And that last portion, talking about esteeming his words more than my necessary food, reminds me of Christ when he was here saying, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." And I think that's awesome. The next portion, Psalm 50, 14 to 23. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. One of my favorite portions in Psalms, and I just love how the Lord just showing his power, saying, you do all of these evil things, the wicked does do all of these evil things, and just because God is silent, just because God is merciful, doesn't mean he won't reprove them. They're heaping up wrath for the day of wrath. And we talk about rebukes being love. A loving rebuke is one of the most loving things you can give someone, because it gets them back in line, gets them on the narrow path, gets them out of their sin. Because those wicked people that just love their sin, they love sinning all the time, are going to be facing the wrath of God. And that last portion, it's pretty scary if you think about it. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. So the Lord can turn people over. The Lord can completely destroy someone. The only reason we're still alive is by God's mercy, by God's grace. And it's important to remember that he could tear anyone he wants to in pieces. So remember to serve the Lord, fear the Lord. We don't see many people fearing the Lord God today. And I like that right at the end, ordereth his conversation aright, will I show him the salvation of God. We're charged to order our conversation aright. We have something to do. And when we order our conversation aright, we draw close to God. He'll draw close to us. He'll show us his salvation. I think that's a beautiful thing. Proverbs 7, 21 to 23. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. I actually have this portion memorized. I love Proverbs, one of my favorite books. And I just like how it talks about the fair speech. Fair speech caused him to yield. I think about the church systems every time I hear that. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. You see so many people getting tricked by this fair speech of easy-believe gospels and going along to get along, pragmatism, we have to be like the world to win the world, we can't stop sinning, all of this fair speech. They go after her straightway as the ox goeth to the slaughter. And it's up to you to discern what is the truth, what is not the truth. We have the word of God. Test all things, prove that which is good. Hold to that which is good. And you'll be okay. But those who just are led around by their flesh, led around by their itchy ears, are going to go right into that trap. And that's what Solomon is talking about there. That young man got pulled into the trap of that adulterous woman because he didn't test, he didn't foresee it. He wasn't wise, walking circumspectly, and he just got pulled away by his flesh into that trap. That's something to watch out for. So next portion is 1 Samuel 18:14-15. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And I like this portion because I've noticed it in my own life. When you behave yourself wisely, when you behave yourself more uprightly, if you order your conversation aright, as we saw in Psalms, people usually don't like to joke around with you. People usually don't like to mess around with you unless they're wicked people, but they usually respect you a lot more, and they're usually a little bit more afraid to bring up anything too wicked around you. You can see that the kind of people at work or people you're hanging around, they just kind of keep silent around you, or they don't talk much, or maybe they really respect you and things like that. And that's what this verse reminds me of. David behaved himself very wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him. And then when Saul saw, it's kind of a tongue twister, that he was behaving himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And I think that's really powerful. Another verse in Psalms. Now these two verses in Psalms, I like how they're framed, and it's about waiting on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I love how he repeats that at the end. He's like, wait, I say, on the Lord. He's like very commanding with that. And that's an awesome promise. You wait on the Lord. Sometimes when you're going through darkness, you just have to hold to the Lord, hold to the truth, and just wait out that darkness. You just got to keep holding on. The Lord will strengthen your heart, but you got to keep holding on through the darkness. You got to keep holding on. All these doubts coming into your head, all these things coming into your head, you're like, no, I'm going to hold on to the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Lord sees what you're going through. He will strengthen your heart. We just talked about trying earlier on in Job. The Lord tries the righteous. And Psalm 130:6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. I love that. He repeats that again. I love how those verses are framed, where it's like, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. He's making an emphasis. And that's, again, about waiting for the Lord. You know how people watch for the morning? Perhaps they get up early, and they're waiting for that sun to rise. They're waiting for their day to get started. Well, we wait on the Lord the same way. We pray. We know he hears our prayers if we're not living in any willful sin. And we know he hears us. And we just wait on him, whether he gives us our request, or whether he waits on it or denies it, whatever it might be, the Lord will give us an answer. We just wait on it. We wait for his strength. We wait for him to come to our help, because he is our strength. I love those verses. Revelation 3:4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I love that verse. I love to think about that. I pray about that a lot. I want to walk with the Lord in white. That would be a beautiful thing. I love that. And they shall walk with me in white. Beautiful promise in Revelation. Make sure you're cleaning up yourself, purging all sin, not defiling your garments, because you want to stand spotless before the Lord. The only way we can be spotless is by Jesus' perfect righteousness, his blood covering us. The only way we get that walking in the light as he is in the light, purging ourselves from all willful sin. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 40. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. I love Paul's writing there. He ends it, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So he's saying, this is my own judgment, but I think also I have the Spirit of God. I love how he frames that. Some of Paul's writing is, it's very, it kind of, you can picture Paul, the personality of Paul in his writing, and I love that. So that's another favorite part. I think also that I have the Spirit of God. That comes to mind every once in a while when I say something. It's like, I think also I have the Spirit of God. I just love that. John 21, 22. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. This verse actually jumped out at me the first time I read it. I actually read through it a few times, but it's like one of those verses you read through it a few times, and then the last time it kind of jumps out at you where it's like, that's a really awesome verse, because he said, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Like, why are you worried about that guy, what I have that guy to do, what I've called that guy to do in this life? Just follow me. That's your command. Fear God, keep his commandments. You're following the Lord. You're on the narrow path. Just worry about that. Don't worry about him. I like that. John 14, verse 6. This is the last one, and probably one of my most favorite, because it connects everything together. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that verse is so simple, but it ties everything together. He is the way. We're on the narrow path to eternal life. He's the way to eternal life. He made the way for us to inherit eternal life. He's the truth. A lot of people look for truth their whole life, but Jesus said, I am the truth. And the truth is the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, John 1, and the life. He is the giver of life. Without him, we're in death. And most of the world, if not 99.999% of the world, loves death. They love corruption, love the corruptible things, but Jesus Christ is life. He came to bring life. So I hope this edified you today, reading through some of these verses, some of my favorite portions of Scripture. And I hope you kind of dig around and find your own favorite verses in Scripture. It's good to have the favorite verses you can pull up in your mind every once in a while and just think about it like, man, that's really cool, that's awesome, because it's really important that you always stay in the Word of God no matter what's going on. And I hope you have a good rest of your day or night, wherever you are, and God be praised.